Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to go back into our subject, a divine destiny. God's really been dealing with me about this. Once I got started in it, I dealing with some things and looking at what's going on with our nation and things. There's a lot said from the standpoint in scriptures. I know in the time Kenneth Hagin lived in this earth, he made mention a number of times. He said there's a lot of things. He said in the scriptures, he said that the church really doesn't look at or study. There's a lot of stuff, you know. He talked about, you know, the areas, you know, God had him teach and do different things. But, you know, especially from the local church standpoint, there's a lot of stuff that are not taught to the believers in the local church where they should be taught. We're looking in this area, especially as to understand these things. When the faith message, I came into the kingdom, and that's what, you know, it's around them teaching how to walk by faith with God, which is absolutely wonderful. But it really, in many ways, some of it got into extremes. And so people avoided things about judgment. They avoided things about, you know, we're just standing and believing God, but there's things need to be corrected, or that won't come to pass. But they didn't deal with that. You just keep standing, and you just keep standing. They got over in the areas of giving, and the Lord dealt with me. 2014, the Lord spoke to me specifically about it. He said, we're believers. There's things concerning their believing and understanding about receiving from God, and the ministers just keep saying, you just need to give more money. You just need to give more money, and that's not the answer. It ain't just giving more money. And so, he said it's worked well for the ministers, but it hasn't worked well for the people. People get over into that. It's like I heard one minister at a minister's conference one time said, you ministers keep telling some of these people just keep believing God. He said the reason they can't get healed is their dirty lives. He said you need to deal with it. If you don't deal with it, you know, you can sit and say I'm believing God all I want. You can go through those things. There's things that need to be changed. And so we're dealing with divine destiny, and this is one of the things we're looking at. We talked about last week, if you look at the definitions in the dictionary for destiny, it's not a scriptural from the standpoint. It's maybe what man means or thinks about it, but it's not what the Bible teaches. I'm always thankful. One of the things that Rhema, I said under teachers Cooper Beatty, which I'm really thankful. He was really good in years. In fact, he taught when I was there. He taught a teaching course on how to teach. It was one of the things that he said: when you teach, you need to define your terms. You don't, you know, when you teach people, don't ever expect that anybody's going to know what you're talking about. I found out with the Bible, especially the Bible. People have a lot of religious ideas what things mean, but they actually don't know it all. We say certain words. You go out in a church and you talk about redemption, 99.9% of Christians are going to think forgiveness is sin. That's what they're just going to go off into. That's what they're just going to do. Well, you need to define terms. And this is why it's destiny. We're not talking about destiny to the world is some kind of fixed thing. You know, you have this destiny in life and this is your lot in life. This is your thing and this is what it is. And it is not at all from a scriptural standpoint. Yet the church teaches that. God's in control. Your destiny's set. You know, whether things work out or don't work out. See, the church teaches things. We don't realize how much and how it gets deep-seated in us, getting rid of this kind of thinking. Because, you know, you're taught that. You know, I was raised under that kind of Christianity, you know. You know, God's rolling and, you know, well, he's going to turn out whatever he wants. He's going to have it. He can do whatever he wants to do and he can't, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And people go along and I'm going to tell you, and they say, we love this guy. You can't know what he's doing. He does good. He does bad. He, you know, but it's God and it's all because he loves you. And as a kid, I thought, man, this is sick love. This is sick stuff. You know, don't tell me you love me. You're probably going to shoot me next week. You know? Because that's what God would do. You know? Here, some crazy person goes ahead and kills somebody, and people sit around, well, God had a purpose in that. Well, then what are we putting the guy in jail for? He did the will of God. We ought to be patting him on the back and buy him a new gun. Maybe God wants him to do something else next week. But see, when Christians talk that, and ministers stand in pulpits and say these things, and then tack the name God on it, and people go, but they're like the baby robin sitting there, and the mom comes, she could stick a hand grenade in his mouth and he'll take it. And that's the church. They've been, put poison in my mouth! Ah! You know, feed me, whatever. Nobody checks to find out if it's true or if it's working. People haven't been able to tell the dangers that are coming. One thing as I learned about Scripture is Scripture gave me a vision to the future. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to give you vision of the future. He's to show you things to come. How does he do that? Does he just get prophets to come and say something? That's what the church believes. No, we don't. Through the understanding and the studying of the Word, you can know why things will happen or won't happen in the future. See, I learned how to do things to set things in my future. And this is through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has given me vision of head of what I want to do. The Word shows us many things in the Scripture concerning the future of God's plan and purpose. And so, I would like to make it there, wouldn't you? Yes. Yeah. So what we do, the Word helps us to get to the place of the future that God has for humanity. We want to do that. It's not, you know, so many people, they're always relying on some prophet somewhere. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot that I know that sometimes I think, where on earth is some of these prophets coming from? I just know from the Scripture, because the Holy Spirit teaches, you can see. And so we ought to know that. You know, you can't go, I don't care what some prophet says about whatever is in a year. There's one thing you need to know. If there's anything he said about success, you're going to have to be doing what the Word says to have it. You can turn around. It ain't going to happen to you just because some prophet said it. You ain't going to have a great year because the prophet said this is a great year. You're not going to have, you're going to have to do the things and walk in the light of what causes a great year. I don't care if God says he's going to pour money out on us like crazy. Not if you're not a giver and walking in faith. It ain't going to happen. See, if you weren't sowing last year, don't be surprised this year don't turn out so big for you. I found this out. Sometimes in my sowing, I went for years and years to come in. You know, I sowed one time. I had sowed, it was a big amount of money. It was $1,000. I mean, Wanda and I in those days could really use $1,000. I mean, $1,000 is big money. We gave it, and I gave it away. And when I was at Rhema, years later, I'm at Rhema. And I said, Lord, I said, you know, I came to Rhema, and when you get to be a student, you find a lot of students struggle. You know, they're trying to make ends meet. They're doing a working job, doing things, you know. I was in Rhema in the days you couldn't get government loans and stuff to go to school. You had to actually work to go through school and do stuff and do things. And well, God blessed us. And I said, Lord, Wanda and I are so blessed here. Why? And he said, you remember that $1,000 that you gave way back yonder? He said, you're living off that thing today. Well, man, it was a lot more than $1,000. God blessed us. Well, why? That was sown a long time ago. I did that back then, and it met my future. God don't pay every week. He don't pay every 2 weeks. You need to understand that. Because, see, if you're waiting, one of these people, well, you know, I'm going to wait, and when I have a problem, I need some money, I'm going to put some money in operation because I need some money now. You won't probably see anything for a while off of that money. Amen. Don't you believe these preachers? I don't care if they say it comes in on every wave. I learned this. You got to put it in on every wave. Amen. To get it to come back on every wave. You know, I don't let an offering plate like yours. We tithe. But, you know, out of my personal money that I have, I always put money in the offering plate. Why? I'm always sowing. I'm just always dropping something in. I don't let them go by without it. Why? Because I want it coming in every way. I'm always dropping something in. I'm giving. That's just the way I do. I just give. I don't say, well, I gave last year, I gave this and that. Well, don't mind. You'll wait longer and longer. See, I've learned to say, wonderful system. Hallelujah. Every wave comes along. I'm a sower. Now, everybody wants something. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, I love to give. I love it. Hallelujah. I'm so blessed that I love to give.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I want to look at that life. Now, we tell this. I want to look at the thing in divine destiny. We're going to look at 2 Kings, the 20th chapter today. 2 Kings, the 20th chapter. We're going to talk here a thing, an incident with King Hezekiah. Now, you can find out this story. We're going to look in Kings. In the bulletin I have in there, because there's the same story. There's a couple, you know, facts that aren't, that aren't brought out in the story from, in Isaiah 38 tells the same story. Also, if you go into Chronicles, tells part of the same story. Hezekiah, according to scripture, Hezekiah is amazing. Of all the kings, like you take David and the mentions concerning Solomon, Hezekiah is spoken most about being a king than any of the other kings in between those time periods, as because the Bible tells us he walked in the light of David, because David his father. David wasn't his direct father, but he's in the lineage of David. In other words, Hezekiah really followed God. But he did get himself into trouble, and this is what we're going to talk about today, because we want to see something about divine destiny and how destiny is set. And it's not by God. We're going to find out in this story. In 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, verse 1, it says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.' Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with loyal heart, and I've done what was good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord.'" So, and I'm just going to stop there for now, but we'll pick that up. One of the things I want you to see, it's God sent the prophet to Isaiah and said, "You're going to die." Then Isaiah goes to God, and we're going to find out, well, as we go on this, we're going to find out what was going on, because there's something he had to deal with. Now, he said, "You're going to die." In other words, under the circumstances, under spiritual law, as they were at the time, he was heading toward death. That's what's going to happen. God's telling him, in other words, under the condition, under divine destiny, the direction he's going to die. So what? Something's got to be changed. Now, as we go on and we're going to go in this, sometimes there's things you can change and sometimes there's things you can't change. This is one of the things you need to be led by the Spirit. Many times or sometimes we're trying to change things that that won't be changed. You can wait too long in your own life and you can't get things changed. I've had it already with Christians and that kind of stuff. I've had it already, but the Lord told me you can't change the outcome. Person's dying, you can't change that. See, sometimes we as an individual may be able to do something. Sometimes a person themselves can't make a change to do it. You can wait till you can't make a change. This is why, in this, I want you to get a hold of something. We're going to look into things of judgment. You're going to find out this about judgment, something they don't talk about today. You and I living in our life in this nation and what we do, as Jesus tarries, there's people who will judgment will fall on them from the generations before them. You say, "Well, that don't sound fair." God is righteous and just. He's not interested in what you think's fair. That's one thing you need to understand this. Live your life right, or other people. This is why many times judgment falls in families. People don't live right in the family, and judgment falls on others in the family. See, if you follow in Scripture, you'd have a generation didn't live right, and the next generation what would live worse and worse because of that generation started that ball rolling. This is why America's in its mess today. Number one is Christians don't live right. The Christians become like the world.
Amen. Preach.
We've opened the door to all kind of stuff, and you know, Christianity and in love, accept anything. Do all kind of stuff. Bringing judgment on people. And people are going to experience judgment. Because now see us today, you stand up against this stuff, you're an ugly, you don't walk in love. You know. You gotta love people. Well, I'm gonna tell you what, you gotta preach the truth whether people like it or not. Is number one. If you don't, you're gonna help judgment come on people beyond you. And don't believe, I'm telling you, get to heaven, you'll find out. We'll be judged for what we've done here. I don't want to get to heaven. Jesus says, well, Ed, you know, you didn't tell them what was true. You told them what they liked.
Come on.
So you sure know how to get the offerings in. You just surely know how to do that. I'm sure he's going to be excited about that. But see, we need to understand this. There's a problem. He turned his face to the wall. We're going to find out why, but we want to go on and look at this. Look what verse 6 says. Now I want you to see about God and what God's doing. Listen what he said. Verse 6, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. He didn't say, I'm doing this for you. I wouldn't understand this. I learned a long time ago. A lot God's done for me was for his sake, not because of mine. I'm just going to say to you, you better recognize, I'm talking to you here. You better recognize your life. You haven't been blessed like you are because you're so good. You best get that. Now, you're going to hear about it on the other side. I'd rather hear about it this side. Well, I learned to give God the credit. It's good. I don't get blessed because I'm wonderful. I get blessed because he's wonderful.
Amen.
That's why I get blessed. Now, see, we don't have that preaching. We got a lot of pat on the back preaching today. Pat me on the back how wonderful I am. How good I am, etc. What I can do. Yeah? Okay. Well, that's why Hezekiah got in trouble here, was going to die, because that's what he was doing. He was listening to the gospel of I'm so wonderful. And I'm just following God and I'm so good. Because we're going to find out about that. We'll find out. So why did God do it? Thank you. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to me in line with that. Was I was walking down through Walnut Street in Lebanon mucho years ago, back. In fact, it would have been back around 1981 or something. I used to walk the streets of Lebanon and pray over the city of Lebanon. I would, back in those days, God would have me go out and do that. Walking down through Walnut Street, in fact, I was walking and I'd passed over what is considered First Avenue there, or Straight Avenue, or Lincoln Avenue, what it's called too. It's called by either name. I was walking down past her, and the Lord said to me, in the last day, there's a revival going to come to this valley, but not because of the people in this valley. It's going to become because of the people who stood before me in years past. He's going to do it because of them. Just like here, I'm blessing you because of David. Don't think you guys are the, pat yourself on the back if God moves here just because you walked with God. See, I gave that up a long time ago. I'm going to get to enjoy something if time goes and I get to be here. I'll get to enjoy something because of others who walk before me. I get the blessing. Just like they can be cursed by me not walking right, or they can be blessed. Thank God there's people who walked before me. See, you ought to be very thankful for the people who walked before you.
Amen.
The people, I mean, there's people died so we could have a Bible. There's people, what people have done in this earth. We don't live and walk like what people put up with and did. We have this arrival today in Christianity like we're just something just wonderful. We're just this, you know, we're just this delicious popsicle, you know, or something. Or no, I'm sorry. There's people of the past suffered And we need to honor that and realize that God will bless and honor. God will bless me because of what others walked, and I receive and walk in light of a heritage that was given to me by others. But we don't live in that. That's why today America's messed. Everybody wants you to know down here, oh, we have a terrible, terrible past. That's the devil's kids. That's evil people doing evil things following the devil. I don't care if they hear it, don't like it. I'm not talking about, they just need to remind you. These people are possessed. Demons dominate and rule them in their minds. They're possessed with thoughts of evil. And we need to understand this. We're not going to change this stuff playing like, well, you know, if we can just get them to understand. What the problem is you don't understand. If you're thinking like that, you ain't got a clue what you're dealing with people. We're dealing with demonic powers dominating and ruling over people. They're bound. And you know what? We're called to preach the gospel. The truth is the only thing that's going to change this thing.
Amen.
No, we think if we speak the truth, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm going to tell you what. If you're not preaching the gospel, whose feelings do you think you're hurting? You think Jesus is on your side? You can sing a song all you want.
Preach.
We got to preach the truth. We got to tell people they're going to hell. They keep in this direction, they'll be lost for eternity. We're trying to love people in the kingdom, and our love is this, is keep them the same. What it is we're afraid somebody might not like us. We're afraid. Somebody might reject me. I got to be liked, you know. I got to be liked. You got to like me. If you don't like me, it's going to go home and care less.
Amen.
It doesn't matter.
Amen.
You got to do what's right. To me, the whole thing of it is, I can go home in satisfaction. I did what was right.
Amen. Preach.
That's my joy. Hallelujah. And then my great joy in life, if somebody follows in right of what's right, I say, wow, glory to God, they did what was right. Hallelujah. My job is not called to keep people happy.
Preach.
You can't do that. I'd have trouble keeping me happy. Sometimes my flesh don't like what I preach. Hallelujah. But because of David, what we find here in this, and this thing took place, is that in verse 7 of this, it says, then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. He said, so they took it and put it on the boil, and he recovered. He said, and Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what's the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go to the house of the Lord the third day? Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Understand we're reading the Old Testament. This man is not born again. He does not have the Spirit of God in him. In other words, if the prophet said it, the prophet may have the anointing. He doesn't know that. He said, hold it. See, he asked for a sign. Okay, well, I want to know. Is this truth? Did I get through to God? Is this so? You see, what we read these things, you should never be asking for a sign. Never. Why? You have the Spirit of God in you. You have the witness of the Spirit in you. That's what you have. Understand why they did it. This is why I want to clarify this. People today, Christians are looking, you know, Christians, you know, a lot of Christians want to go like to a healing meeting. They want to go there. They'll sit there in their seat till they think somebody got healed. Then I'm going to go up and I'm going to get, they want a sign, you know, get a sign to heal. Faithless. Now, I can understand the world acts like that, and I can understand somebody's never been taught about healing as a Christian doing that. But Spirit-filled people do it all the time. Over the years, I've had people come, you know, they wait till they see something and then they come running up and they say they're Spirit-filled. Yeah, well, what spirit is that? I'd like to know. What spirit is that? No, I got to wait to see. Hallelujah. I'm the blessed in the crowd. Jesus himself said so to Thomas. He said, you believe because you saw. He said, the ones that are blessed who don't see me and believe, hallelujah, that's me, I'm the blessed. See, we have the witness of the Spirit in us. We know. See, I know I passed from death unto life. I'm not thinking about, I don't need a sign. You see, I believed one day to pass from death unto life, but I'm not trying to believe it ever again. Why? I know.
Amen.
It's already happened. If I'm still acting in faith, That means it didn't happen yet. I don't need faith if it happened. I passed from death on. It's already taken place. Christianity lives in the past all the time, teaches from the past, trying to get Christians to believe that they're, you know, passed from death unto life. Well, then you, what, didn't you pass from death unto life yet? You ain't a Christian? Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, when are you going to know? I'm sorry, I know.
Amen.
I've arrived at knowing. I know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I know. I'm not trying to believe I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I know it. Hallelujah. See, we got to get past this stuff. We ain't living to the future. Keep living, dragging in the past. Get out of the past. Hallelujah. This is what we are. Glory to God. You are a child of God. I ain't trying to be one. I'm not trying to be righteous. I am. Hallelujah. Made that way. Lived in the future. I'm righteous. Well, I'm going to try to be righteous. Well, don't worry. It ain't working and it won't. Wasting your time. See, we wasted a lot of time. See, when you believe something and it arrives from then on, you live like you have it, not like you're trying to get it. Because that's living in faith. That's living like it hasn't happened yet. See, you don't have to have faith to believe for what you see. Do you? No. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I can see what I am. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we want to live and walk in the light of that. In these days. Well, it said, then Isaiah said, this is a sign to you from the Lord that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. He said, shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or backward 10 degrees? 10 degrees. And he said, and Hezekiah answered, well, it's easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. He said, but the shadow to go backwards. Well, God fulfilled it for him. Isaiah prayed for that to take place. And now, I just want to see that. You can, as I said, in Isaiah 38, 1 through 8 tells this story also there. It's written again. And there you can read those. Now, if we would read, what we want to do is we want to look at the reason Hezekiah's destiny changed. What changed it? Well, if you went over, and I'm not going to read it there, if you went over to Isaiah 38 and you read verses 9 through down through 20, that Isaiah there, we have, wasn't written concerning Isaiah. This is actually, those verses were written by Hezekiah. It says so in Scripture. And what Hezekiah makes a statement there, and he goes through, he doesn't tell directly what he did or what he was doing. He doesn't tell directly. But what he does tell you that is God, you know, forgave him and put his sins behind him. In other words, there was sin that he was in that caused him problem. There was a sin that caused him trouble. And so, unless that was corrected, he's going to die. Was God going to kill him? No, God wasn't going to kill him. You need to understand it. What happens, sin does something. Sin brings judgment. See, there's the curse. Sin brings judgment. And so what happens, judgment was going to come on him. Now understand, Hezekiah at this time, he's not some baby to whom much is given, much is required. This man has seen God bless his life. If you go over and read his history, God has blessed this guy. Hezekiah has the kingdom and him is really rich. God has blessed them with wealth. The kingdom is blessed. God has helped them against their enemies. He's seen supernatural. He's seen all this stuff. Seen God do. And but it requires of him something. You need to understand this. There's things required of us. There's things required out of us because of what we know. Don't look at somebody else and say, well, you know, they do this or that. I've had people come up to me over the years and say, you know, is it okay to do this or that? I say, well, why? Well, so-and-so does it. I said, well, they might do it because they don't know no better. But you know better, and the reason you're asking me, you know it's wrong. Or you'd be overdoing it. Say, go ahead and do it and see what happens. Down the road, I'll guarantee you, judgment won't come on tomorrow. Might not come on to them for years and years and years. And 10 years down the road, something's starting to happen. I wonder why that happened. I don't understand. What is this? What did Paul say about the word of God, the promise of God? He told children, obey your parents in the Lord, it may go well with you so you live long in the land. It's the first commandment with promise. It's a promise. You know, one is like some guy gets 50 years old and die early, and they say, why did he? Might be because he was a rebellious kid and never corrected that. Amen. See, it didn't happen. He didn't die when he was a kid, but he died. And people weren't, I don't understand why. See, people run in trouble down the life, down the road, and don't realize. Hold it. Never repented. Thank God. You know, I got born again. All that past is under the blood. But I got to walk right now.
Amen.
It might cost me way down the road somewhere. Now, I'm not saying it's going to make people. It's the spiritual law. It's the way it works. Amen. To believe something else is a fairy tale. It doesn't work. Paul wrote that to a church. Paul wrote to a church and told the church that. That wasn't written to the world. Don't worry about the world and their kids. I'd just like to see the family straighten out in the church. We need to understand this stuff. See, it's why you don't allow your children to rebel. You don't allow that. You put it, you know. I've told a story about, you know, I had... our daughters, Alyssa and Lena, when we were at Rhema, you know, they're kids. And those two used to pick at each other all the time, and back and forth, and back and forth all the time. We're coming home to church one night, and they're back and forth, back seat, just picking on each other. And I'm just fed up to here with it. And we pull in, park at our apartment where we lived there, and we pulled in the lot and parked. And I just turned around, and I said, I didn't realize really what this was. This wasn't just Ed's anger. God didn't like this. I'm going to tell you why. Because it'd affect my life. Your life can be messed up because you're kids, you let things go, and it'll mess your life up. And you're going to live with the problem, and it's your fault. When I turned around and I said to him in the car, I said, you too, I've had it. I said, you go in the house and sit in the couch. I come in, we're going to have a talk. And they got out of the car, and I sat there, and I thought, well, man, I'm just downright fed up. And I thought, but I don't want to go in, just fed up. And I said, the Lord, and I said, this is exactly, I ain't lying a bit about it. I said, what am I going to say to him? Well, you don't want to just go in and blow up, just do something and just blow up at the thing. And the Lord gave me the scripture, Paul said. And I walked in, an anointing of God. See, you need the anointing on you sometime when you correct and quit telling them what you think, which don't amount to nothing. And the anointing was on me. And I quoted to them what Paul said about kids obeying their parents, going to live long in the land. You'd have thought I beat them the way they cried. I never touched them. I just said those scriptures. See, the power of God was there. Amen. They were convicted terribly. Amen. Well, say, boy, Ed, you really did a good job. That wasn't me. That's the Holy Ghost. He was helping the guy that needed help. But I said it did. See? See? We've handled our kids till we've let them turn into all kinds of stuff. Say, God, what do I do with this? This needs corrected. It's the power of the Word of God, not the power of our opinion. The power of the Word of God. But you'd have thought, I'm serious, you'd have thought I beat those kids. They cried. They wailed cried. They got it. Good. I was glad. They were discomforted. And you know what? I didn't try to comfort them at all. I enjoyed them feeling really bad because I was tired of hearing the junk. Say, if you got to suffer for a few months on this, that's good. I don't want you to feel better. Only if you change. And if you don't change, I want you to wail every night when you go to bed. See, he's a mean man. No, I want my kids straightened out. That's what I want. Hallelujah. See, I want them to follow God. I want my family in heaven with me. I don't want to go to, you know, they think they're going to make heaven because mama loves them and Daddy loves them. They don't get to heaven on that. Hallelujah. I want them to look in unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. Hallelujah. I want them to know, you don't have to be afraid of Daddy. You be afraid of if you don't walk right, God knows. See, we live a Christian life today like God's deaf and dumb and owns a liquor store or something. I don't know. We don't walk right toward God. There's a fear of heaven. Living in the knowledge that God is around you. See, we're singing this morning about the presence of God. Do you realize that? Do you really believe he's present right now?
Amen.
You know, when you woke up this morning, he was present. You know, whatever you did, he's present. See, there's a knowledge of that leads you to a higher faith. It doesn't lead you to any terror. Where it leads you to, if you gain the knowledge of that, God's around you. That's why I'm not trying to get to the presence of God and find it. I'm there. I want to know how to respond to it. I want to respond to him because, see, I want the manifestation of that presence.
Amen.
Christians live and die, and the presence of God around them never manifests. Live and die, and it never manifests. We don't want to go to that place, do we? I want God. If God's real, I want him manifested. I need help. I need wisdom. I need understanding. I need things. So you want that presence. He's around living in consciousness. Hallelujah. You know, says, in the morning you wake up. You're conscious when you wake up in the morning. Well, I got to go to work and I can truthfully say this. I wake up in the morning. First thing I think about, I'll talk to the Lord first thing in the morning. There's times I wake up in the night and when I wake up, I find I'm praying in tongues. I'm laying in a bed praying in tongues. I think, man, have I been doing this? How long have I been doing this? I wake up and I'm praying in tongues. See, you live with the conscious prayer. It is amazing what it does to you. It isn't that I'm just so spiritual. It's living that certain things are true and real. They change you. It does something to you. Faith in that, in God, changes you. People are trying to get changed without consciousness of the presence of God, without the consciousness of God being around them. Finally, that they can respond to God. He responds to them. We're not, living a life like God's around. And many people, they come to church to run into God. I'm sorry. There are six other days I run into him all the time.
Amen.
I don't come to church to run into God. I can run into him everywhere. He's everywhere.
Amen.
It's good we can get together here. We can set an atmosphere of things. This is one of the things why you want to get people to come to church. This is why the devil keeps people out of church. Because if he got in an atmosphere of faith, it might change them. The devil keeps them out, and we have devilish ministers and Christians tell me, you can just watch on TV. Good luck.
Preach.
Good luck. See, you set an atmosphere. It's just like in a home. You're setting an atmosphere. You let sin and all kind of stuff go on in your home. You set that atmosphere. See, you set an atmosphere for the presence to manifest itself. Now, in my notes, but it sure is good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn to 2 Chronicles 32. We'll read about Hezekiah, what he did here. Then I'm going to give you some illustrations that things that will help you. In 2 Chronicles 32, we're going to turn to 2 Chronicles 32, this is again talks about Hezekiah. He's a popular guy. He's written, in Kings and Chronicles and Isaiah. There's one thing as I learned this. If God puts something in the Bible a number of times, it's very important. And this is what I find. If something's mentioned numbers of times, you better pay attention to it. Because God didn't give us a volume of books. He gave us a book. And in that book, if he took the time to mention certain principles often, you better pay attention to that. Now, in Chronicles, verse 24, we're going to look at 2 Chronicles 32. It says, in those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, and he prayed to the Lord, And he spoke to him and gave him a sign. Now, so God talked to him. He said, but Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Now, I want you to understand this. What was going on here was not going to just affect him in death. Judgment was going to come on Jerusalem. See, he had a place of authority he was over there. I'm tell you what, same thing for your home. Same thing for your home. See, people don't realize this stuff. See, I thank God I learned this as a young Christian, that my home had to be, I had to take spiritual authority and step in, because why? There's things I want to keep out of the home and don't have. You don't want to have. You got to stand. I learned that. See, too many times in the home, there's no authority. It's all divided, you know. I got to find out this person's okay with it and that person. No, don't run like that. See, it's one thing is you want to live, and you want to live a right life. Why? Because judgment can come. You don't want to do that. Now listen to what happened. Here he says, then Hezekiah, what did he do? He humbled himself for the pride of his heart and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Of the Lord did not come. I want you to understand this. The wrath of the Lord did come then. Hezekiah got to hold it off for a little bit longer, because he repented. See, we have this problem in America. America ain't repenting. And there is doom and judgment is in motion concerning America. You can't. We're going to go on that. We're going to not go that all today, but we're going to pick that up. We'll pick that up next week, and we're going to go over and look at this thing about judgment, because we need to understand. There's things that get set under as looking with divine destiny, because things have been held for a long time. Just think about it. When Kenneth Hagin's vision, he had it in 1950, he said, some nations have had their last call and are not going to get another one. I want you to think about that. Then he said, America's having its last call. Here we are after all this time. I will guarantee you, God was that long-suffering to those nations. It wasn't off the... God's not like that. You know, you do something, I'm going to get you tomorrow. That's sort of what we were taught as kids in church. You know, you do something, God's going to get you, you know. And I found out the devil already had them teaching that stuff. God wasn't going to get you. No, but you need to understand this. The Bible scripture teaches this, because God doesn't judge quickly people continue in their sin. Gee, I didn't want to read that one. You see, we need to understand it. This is why is the Bible. Thank God we have, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us. Folks, we're not getting away with anything. God is righteous, and the reason He judges is because of righteousness, not because He don't like you. Why? God cannot fellowship with people who continue in sin. He doesn't. You might be His child, you know. I don't care, in a family you can have it ever like you want. I always like his family said, you know, well, we treat everybody in the family the same. I do. If you're a heathen and you don't act right, I'm going to treat you like a person that's a heathen. And if you're good and do what's right, I'm going to treat you like that. You get reward and you don't. I don't give everybody reward. Reward comes from doing right. It don't come from being in the same family. People say, you treat your kids the same? No. I treat them according to what they do.
Amen.
That's why I treat them. I'm like God.
Amen.
So you need to understand these things. Why would the heathen want to straighten out if he's treated the same?
That's right.
Hey, the church world's excellent at this. We go around and people do wrong. We feed them. We pay the rents. We do all this kind of stuff. And they don't change a lick.
Preach.
And you get the guy, it's good, he goes to church and he needs something, they knock him. Oh, why don't you believe God? Come on. Like there's some kind of spiritual something or other when there are nothing. See, the church knows a lot less about God than they say they do. Why? Because we have another book. I don't know where it's at. I don't have it. But we have another book they read because I can't find it in mine. Amen. You know, I found out this a long time ago when I started off working. I found out when you didn't go to work, you didn't get a paycheck. Now I'm living the day and time. You don't ever have to go to work. They'll pay you. Somebody will pay you. Christians will turn around. They'll give you meals. They'll do all kinds of stuff. Do other things. You don't have to work. You don't do nothing. And this is because, you know, we're so darn loving. They don't realize how evil and devilish they are.
Come on, preach.
How wicked they are. And we need to understand this. We need to stop and say to people, hold it, hold it. I'm a person who believes in helping people, but you better be doing something. Because if you're not, I'm sorry. There's no free lunches. I'm glad my parents taught us that. You have to do things. And give you everything. And we didn't give our kids everything. Today, everybody's handed everything. You know, you get it all. You don't. You grow up, till you turn around, if you're going to get married, go, you know, or something like that, that's the first time in your life. You might have to do something on your own. Might have to pay for things. All the time up to there. See, this one thing is I learned. The average child today will live a third of their life really not doing much to take care of themselves. And then we expect them to spend a third of your life not doing it. Now you're just going to jump into it. No, you're not. You trained them.
Come on.
You start making them responsible when they're little.
Amen. Amen.
You know, your kids are little. You got to give them some money. You got to do this. You have to do something. My kids couldn't count on me giving them money at the end of the week. We didn't do that. You had to do something. That's how I got my money. I want to teach them how I get mine. Mm-hmm. We don't teach them how we get ours. We just give them some.
Come on.
They say, well, you know, we love them, and we're just trying to help them along. No, you're not. You're making them devilish.
Preach.
See, I don't want my kid to suffer. Other kids get it. I don't want them to feel like they're, oh. I want to be like the lousy parent, and so I'm going to be like that. But I'm going to believe God for my child. You know, I can't use the other way. I'll throw that thing out there. Well, so-and-so is allowed to do that. They throw that to me. I'll say, well, get your bags packed and move over. You ain't living here. See if they'll take you. I say, they can't stand their kid now. He's taking another one in. I say, they're just trying to buy them off right now. Just... I never even did that to my parents because you'd never go home. My parents would say, well, they're letting so-and-so do it. Mm-hmm. Like that would have really worked. No. But you know, I could truthfully say this. We didn't have to really push around our kids a lot of stuff and do crazy things because we brought them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We weren't like school. People were always, they go to school and they're going to learn this or that. Our kids didn't turn around follow after the nutty and the stuff. They never did. Why? They saw miracles and healings and stuff and things in the home. I want the shot. Come on, let me have the shot. The other kids are getting them. I want to be like they do. I don't like the miracles. They don't believe it. No. They saw God move. They found out that this Christian thing that we live worked and they liked it. They saw how God blessed them in their lives. They didn't go after something else. See, we have very much little God showing up. All we have today is a lot of religion, a lot of talk. I can truthfully say this, you can ask my wife. We had a lot of God showing up in the house. We had a lot of that. We didn't have it because I wasn't a pastor, I wasn't a man. God should have. We believe God was there. We act like God was there, and God, He showed up. He manifested Himself. He acted like He lived with us. Crazy guy. Hallelujah. As you give them room, you know, and you have to do that. Mm-hmm. And God will show up. It's like God shows up for me today. I mean, I really do not understand a lot of Christianity today as they work so hard to try to get to God and get. I don't understand it. Amen. God is present. My God, He moved in me. Amen. He's in me. He's around me. What? He's anointed me. What on earth do I want? Do I need a snow shovel over the head to wake me up or what? Is this stuff true? Or are we just sitting and talking some nice religious stuff here and this just sounds good? No, this stuff is real.
Amen. Praise God.
This is real. You know, just think, under the old covenant, the guy says to the prophet, well, what sign is God going to give me about this? He expected God. And we sit around and tell, yeah, we got it better. We're saved. Well, when are we going to act like that one?
Come on.
I'm not seeking God. He done found me. I ain't trying to run from Him. He got me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we got to change. See, this is the thinking today. Now, this is not true. When I came into the kingdom, we act like this stuff was real. But we've done past from when I came in the 80s. We have done past on to religion. I had a minister friend of mine who's an evangelist, and he told me this back in the early 90s. He said this to me. He said, the Spirit-filled people are going to be the next big backslidden group. And he's been right. He said, that's going to be. Wow, he's going to church. He saw in the 90s what was going on. He saw what's starting to happen. They'll be the next big backslidden. We're trying to go to meetings to get the power of God to move. I'm going to tell you, He meets with me in my house.
Amen.
I don't have to go to a special. It's nice when you can get together with believers and have, you can set a wonderful atmosphere. It's great. I mean, it's amazing. But I don't go to those things from this standpoint because I need healing, I need this, or I need this. I got what I need. I'm going there to support the move of God. If God wants to say something to me, I want to be able to hear it. I want to know what's going on. I'm there. You know, God might have something through whoever's speaking or whatever, saying something good. I need to hear that. But I'm not going down there with this thing as a, you know, like people go, they have this expectation. I got to get this thing met. I got to get healed. I got to get this. I got to get that. And that. And all this, it isn't meeting God. You know, if that's all you ever did, you go to, if you came to my house and always wanted what you could get out of me, stay home.
Amen.
Don't come to my house.
Amen.
Don't start being ugly. People get, hey, don't you run into people like that? You see them coming, it's like, oh, here they come again. They want something. Here they come. The only time they ever show up, they want something. You ever been around that? Amen. Yeah, yeah. Yep, sir. Not so, oh, hey, I got an appointment. I'm sorry, we got to be going now. I got say it, we can't meet with you. I'll cry about it later. I just let me talk to you about this. I just want to say this. There's two things dealing with this area of divine destiny. The first time I ever heard this term used from a Christian standpoint of I've heard people use, you know, sort of kind, you know, your destiny and divine, all this kind of stuff. But really, from a standpoint, I didn't quite understand it when it was said. It was told by Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth Hagin's wife, Aretha, was, I'm not quite sure what, it was a medical problem somewhere, but anyhow, it had to do with an operation. Now, it was one of the things of, if she don't have the operation, she'll eventually die. But to have the operation, it was the fact of this is, he said he even picked up a sense in himself that if she had the operation, she was going to die. But, and understand, in this time period, operations and stuff weren't like today. And many years ago, this is back, I think, in the 50s when this took place. Might have been even a little earlier than that. Might have been in the late 40s. Anyhow, he said they only gave a 50% chance of her having the operation. So he was praying about this, and he got a sense that his wife would die. She had it. And his wife had the sense, because she didn't want to do it, and yet She needed help, and she did. And anyhow, he was had been praying off and on about this thing, and then he was at a meeting, and actually he was speaking in a meeting. They had had an altar call and things up and ministering, and I guess he must have been done or something, and Jesus appeared to him and said to him about this, about him praying about Aretha. And he said to her, to him, according to divine destiny, she's going to die. Well, when I first heard that, I thought, well, what's, you know, divine destiny was used, that was term. Well, I didn't understand much. I understand now when I understand about it as time went on and learning some things from a scriptural standpoint. I didn't understand. But he said to her, he said to Kenneth, you tell her to have the operation, she'll come through it, she'll be fine. Now, and then he said to her, he commended him for praying. He said, I wish my children would do that, would pray and ask me about things. Now, but I want you to get a hold and understand this. This didn't happen that he just overrode her. She wasn't in a place of faith. That's why she's going to die. She wasn't in a place of... See, I realized this. When the Lord appeared and told him, you tell her, she'd believe him if he said he saw God. Jesus, and Jesus said, do it. But see, because he prayed, it is no different with Wanda and her grandfather. When the Lord told me concerning, from a standpoint, sometimes God will do things because of an individual. I prayed and asked God, but he spoke in this instance and said, I can't do this for him, but I'll do this because you ask. The situation, see, he was supposed to, I knew divine destiny. I knew at the time, divine destiny, when we went into that room where he was at and all his people were, I knew he's going to die. If this thing stays like this, he's dead. It ain't going to matter. That's the direction. It has to be changed. And the only reason God changed, I prayed and talked to God, but I didn't talk to God about him. I talked to God about my wife. Why? He had no ground to stand on. See, I'd been in with him at the hospital a few months before and walked out, and I said, Lord, why does life turn out the way it does like this? He said, this is what happens with people who accept me and don't walk with me. Their life turns out like this. See, you need to understand why people's lives turned out the way they do. You get born again, and you know what? The devil can eat your lunch. This is why many people end up at the end toward their lives, and things ain't going good at all. It's not to criticize anybody, but we need to understand, we need to stop and talk to God. Why are things going the way they are? Instead of, I'm just believing God. Hold it! If it don't change, you're going to be in heaven saying, I'm believing God. You know, just find out. Why is that? You know in your heart whether something's working. Are you totally cut off from your heart? You can't even hear it. Knowing in the inside something's wrong. I'm not Mr. Spiritual, but I'll tell you what, I get around things and I'll know on the inside, I don't know what it is, but I know something ain't hooking up. Something ain't right. Something's wrong. It ain't a matter of just saying, let's just make a good confession here. No, I want to know what's wrong. Why? Then I can make a good confession. I can confess in the right direction. We need to find out, and many times we're not taking the time, we just make a good faith confession. Instead of finding out, you know, maybe something needs to be changed and a confession may need another direction. Sometime to help a person, you'd make a good confession for them. It has nothing to do with their healing or deliverance. It would be the fact for them to come into the knowledge of what they need to change. Now, sometimes you'll try to change things. I've tried to change things with people over the years. I knew what was coming. I tried to change it and I saw they ain't going to listen. So I knew what the end result was going to be. I knew it was going to happen. I knew. You just know. If something isn't changed, something needs to be corrected, divine destiny is set with them. It's just like dealing with that. The divine destiny was set. She had to come in faith. Well, why'd she have to come in faith? Well, for this reason. She had been sitting under her husband's teaching all this time and that stuff. It ain't like she was a Baptist that never heard. And she's not walking in faith. And I tell you, as I learned over the years, his wife for many years struggled a lot in the areas of faith. See, just because one partner has faith don't mean the other one does. Don't mean that has any faith at all. She got to the point where she developed her faith and had strong faith. But it took her a long time to do that. It took her many years where she got to the point. You say, well, why is that? I don't know why. Some people, I just find this all the time. There's some people just struggle with the thing of faith and struggle. I don't know why, but they just do. You can sit and sit on the Word and sit on the Word and sit and they struggle. And say, why? I don't know. There's things that they have to deal with. Well, in another area is dealing with divine destiny was... Then I heard Randall Greer back some years told a story because he had a really close, him and a guy were really close friends together and that stuff. A minister, he's a pastor of a church, and they would go to a lot of the Kenneth Hagin's meetings and that stuff together. They would attend together and that stuff. They were just good friends over time. And this guy came down with cancer. He was young, he's only in his 40s. Came down with cancer. And he talked about the fact of, you know, he said, he came down and he was in the hospital with something that really came on very quickly. And he was in the hospital. And Randy told a story sort of like this. He said, we were in the hospital and he said, we were praying in the hospital and that stuff in his room. And he said, there was family members in the room. And he said, and there's things you can, I don't know how to explain it in words, but there's things that you know in your spirit you got a hold of. You know it. You got it. You know. There's things that I'll know. See, this is one of the things. It's like I tell the story when I had my heart attack and I got up and ran. I knew I had my healing. Now, it wasn't manifest at all, but I knew I had it. That's why I got up and said, I'm going to go for a run. I knew I had it. See, I find out people this, they don't know they got it because they're afraid to do anything. See, I knew I had it. See, I learned faith that way. That's the way God taught me. See, the Lord told me the first time, you know, I'm a baby Christian. Woke up in the morning and to go to work and man, I'll tell you what, my stomach's in a knot. And it's just, oh, it's terrible. And in pain and, it's like one of those jobs, you know, you want to throw up, but you can't. It's like, oh my God, maybe I'd feel better if I did. And I'm in that thing and I'm there, you know, acting like going through the bit of faith. And this thought just went through my mind. It just went, okay, I'm going to call off work and I'll just believe God. And I never said a word. I just thought it. And all of a sudden, inside of me, wasn't some loud voice in the room, inside of me though, it just rose up and said, if you call off work, you're going to spend the rest of the day in bed sick. That's what I wanted to hear. Boy, that just took off right away. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's what I was looking for. And then that same voice said to me, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? Because see, I had sit around and said I did. I'm going to tell you, if you run into God, He's going to call you on your words. Let me just say this to you. God's going to judge you according to your voice. I don't care if you said it 30 years ago. God's going to judge you according to your voice, what you've said. See, when the Lord told me I had to go back and start running again, He judged me according to my voice. He said, you said. He judged me according to what I had said. See, over time, He's done that to me. Reminded me what I said. And judged me according to what I said. Well, He said, you believe 1 Peter 2:24? I'm laying there in bed, and I actually quoted it to Him. Well, He said, if you believe it, now here, He has this real sweet, see, He's just a sweet Jesus. He set His sheep down, and He said, if you do, get up and act like it. Oh, that's what I wanted to hear. But you know what? I got out of bed till I got to work. I was completely well. But you know, this is what I learned. I learned the power of acting on the word is greater than just saying it. Amen. You can confess it, but you got to act. See, that's amazing. I knew if I got up and acted like I believed and I received my healing, the devil wasn't going to kill me going down the road. I knew it. He ain't going to. Nope. I'm going to act like it's true. I act like. Say, well, did you feel better? No, I felt lousy. That's why I'm in faith. When it showed up, I didn't have to be in faith anymore. But see, in the middle of faith, that's when you do something, not after you feel better. Do you get it? Well, anyhow, he knew he had this guy. He's holding on to him. And he said, we were in the room praying, and he said, it was just like, and he used the terms of this. See, sometimes spiritual things, we try to use illustrations to explain them the best we can. It's really not exactly what it is, but he said, it felt like he slipped out of my hand. And he said, I knew we didn't have a hold of him anymore. It's like he was joined together with us. Now he's not. What's going on? He don't know. So he said, they were all in the room praying together, and he said he left out, but he said where the hotel was, he said right nearby, he said, I had a hotel right near the hospital, right by it. He said, I went over to the hotel, and I went to my room, and I went and asked, he said, I went in there and asked God, what is going on? What's happening? I feel like going, what's happening? And the Lord spoke to him and said, according to divine destiny, he's going to die. Well, he stopped and said, well, what do you mean, according to divine, what is this? He said, he's gotten himself over. He said, he's been hooking up in the spirit. And he said, he got over and touched into the other side, and he wants to go there. And he said, I can't go against his will. He has the right to come home if he wants to. I can't, the Lord said to him, I can't stop that. And he said, he wants to come home. And he said, the Lord said, he's going to die according to divine destiny. In other words, the laws that are set. Amen. See, these people, and I said, you need to understand. We call, you know, like they have churches, they call free will Baptists, and they really don't believe in free will. You know, God does, you know, he's in control. We talk about free will, but we don't understand the power of our will. God doesn't override your will. Now, I will just tell you this. If Wanda's grandfather had decided he wanted to leave and had set in that direction, it would have never been changed. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. What you hope is this with a person sometime is they didn't close the door on things. Sometimes you can take a hold and keep a person. But you got to learn this. Don't keep a person if they're just going to suffer and suffer and suffer and suffer and suffer. You know, if they ain't going to get healed, you know. You don't want to do that. But, see, as I realized with him, what I'd put it the best at, he's in neutral. He doesn't have opinion on the thing at all. He just ended up real sick and is going to die. And spiritually, he's not hooked up to nothing. You need to understand this in its operation with people is what a person wants. You see, when I learned about this, I realized, you know, like God had me. I don't know. I used the thing of a lady who was in the glow who, when I was just born again, I was just a young Christian, said, we've been praying for this lady had cancer, and we've been praying for her living. She died. Why'd she die? And I didn't realize what I was doing is being a prophet. I didn't realize God was speaking through me. I said, she died. She said, well, why did he die? And I thought about, you know, gee, I'm probably saved 6 months. I'll probably really have some good wisdom here. I just came out right. Well, what did she want? And she said, well, she wanted to die. But see, she had the idea. See, that woman had set herself. This is divine destiny. She set herself. She's allowed to go that way. If it's going to change, you got to get her to change. It's just like this. There is a lady who was, Brother Hagin tells a story. There's a lady, her name, they called her Grandma, but her last name was Jeffcoat. And Grandma Jeffcoat, she was a lady, she was in her early 80s. She was dying of stomach cancer, and I mean, it was really bad. She had a big tumor, and it was really thick. But anyhow, they asked for Brother Hagin to go see her, and Brother Hagin went to see her and talked with her. And see, she said this, Brother Hagin, you know, talked to her about being healed, and she said, now she had actually came into Pentecost many years in advance. This goes back, we're back in the 40s this took place. We're going back many years. This lady had came in many, many years before, way back in the Pentecostal movement back in the early, you know, 1900s. And she came in through getting healed. And she has, you know, she was a very vibrant Christian woman and walking in the light of the Word. And this thing happened to her. And what she did is she sort of, you know, had suffered. And she decided, you know, she wanted to, she had brother Hagan. No, I don't want to. She said, just let me go home. She said, I've suffered so much, I just want to go home. And this is what Brother Hagan said to her. Well, why don't you let God heal you and then die if you want to? But don't go like this. Why? God don't get any glory out of this. You know what you think about? You know, I've thought about my life. I don't want to have to crawl out of here.
That's right.
Because God ain't going to get no glory out of it. Well, you know what? We talk about having a good testimony. Man, I tell you, Christians have lousy testimonies in death. We don't think about it. Glorifying God. I want to glorify God. You know, the heck with Ed. I want to glorify God. Amen. Well, anyhow, he said to her, why don't you do that? And she said, well, no, I don't want to. Now, he said, I talked to her about it. But he said, I left there. He said, I didn't pray for her healing. He said, it wouldn't have done any good. She wasn't in faith for healing. Oh, how many times have you wasted your time praying for healing? And the person wasn't even into it, but you did your spiritual thing. A waste of prayer and might hurt the person more than it helped. Well, now the person thinks God don't want them well. After you did. If a person's not in it, he said, so what I did is I went back every day. I'd go back and read her scriptures. Well, see, number one, she's a Christian lady who knows the word. You know, you can't sit there and just keep hearing the word. If you can and it don't finally grab a hold of you that, you know what, I know what's right to do and I'm going to have to do this. And she just finally got, oh, she's going to stand. Now, I want you to, but let's talk about this. We talk about faith and patience and hearing the promise. I'm going to tell you why we don't see miracles today. It isn't just Ed Gibson went out and ran when he had a heart attack or he did this or he did this. That's not what it is. It's about doing. Now, Brother Hagin generally told that story. Well, she eventually came and she got healed. Within 6 months, she's well, completely well and whole. You know, lived out into her 90s. And stuff. You know, she's in her 90s and driving car and stuff and doing things. And she's really great health and good. But anyway, got her to use, but he brought her back. But I want you to know what that lady did. You need to understand this. Once she got a hold of the word was true, she ain't suffering less. She's still suffering. You need to understand what's going on here. But you need to understand the difference of faith and actions. See, I found out it wasn't some easy thing for her. She would get her son-in-law to take her to church. And she is so... Brother Hagin said this. Her body was so emaciated, he said her hands were so you know, the skin and stuff and no, you know, muscles, tissue. He said, it looked like paper. You look almost like see-through. He said in her back, he said, she had this huge... You could see it was through her skin, this big tumor. He said it was almost a purplish thing and that stuff. He said, other than that, and for her size, this woman is just completely wasted away. But she'd ask her son-in-law to take her to church. Oh, people today, they got a hangnail. They don't come to church. Littlest pain, littlest thing. Well, the doctor said, well, that's right. He's God. Believe him. What happened? This lady, I'll tell you what. This lady, something else concerned. She got a hold of her faith. They would put pillows in the backs of the car and that stuff because she couldn't be just laid on anything and take her. They'd bring her into church, and they had this chair and stuff there for her, and everything was set up to put all these pillows. She'd sit there. Brother Hagin said this. He said, we'd be having a service. He said, she'd quit breathing. We'd have to pray and get her breathing again. Oh, I mean, you're all going to church now, right? He said, we'd have to pray and get her breathing. And he said, she did this. He said, man, she had every reason to stay home. You know what? She's acting like she got something. Everybody else is waiting to get something. That's not faith. Brother Hagin said they did that. And he said, finally, one night, a Wednesday night, she came to church. She was sitting down there and she was in this thing. And he said, she went through one of these things and quit breathing. He said, we prayed, got her breathing again. He went up back to the front of the church. The Spirit of the Lord came on him. He looked back to her and said, Sister so-and-so, rise up. You're healed in the name of Jesus. And she got up and walked out of the thing. Amen. I'll guarantee you that would have never happened had she done what she did. I'm going to tell you what. I'm not letting an 80-some-year-old woman outdo Ed Gibson. I ain't going to be the whiner. So you determine what you're going to be. You're going to determine. I'm just telling you the power of acting on the Word of God.
Amen.
We've lost that. All it is talk. Faith without works, faith without corresponding action is dead. If you believe you got something, you start living like you got it. If you believe God's around, you start living like you got it. Don't expect a God to show up when you're living like He's not there. Don't expect these things. Folks, we need to come to this place. We need to crawl out of this Christianity today, which is just, you know, Brother Hagin, I learned faith and talk from him, but I learned action from him. I learned the doing. I'm just really amazed. People say, well, you know, I listened to his teaching. Well, what did you listen to? You'd have found out about doing. If you actually listened to him. No, I listened to the parts I like. There's the ones I do. The faith fight is a hard fight. The Bible says it's a good fight. It is. Because if you fight this hard fight, you will win. It's not easy. If you're a faith person, you're going to find out about your flesh. And there's a lot you ain't going to like about it. Because it keeps wanting to hold you back. I don't care how I've, and the things I've gone through, I still find my stupid flesh wanting comfort when it needs to do something. And I have to stop it and say, shut up, you ugly thing. We're doing this. No. See, we have come. America is a comfort society that is faithless. It's all about comfort. Keeping people happy. Keeping people. I found out I can go to theft stuff and be happy. I was in Vietnam with guys and we laughed a lot. And I had to come back home and live with all the jerks. That whining about what they don't even know a problem is. I've been to countries and see how people live, and I thank God. I come back home and say, Lord, if I complain again, you know, throw me under the bus. I ain't got a right to complain. Tired of the complaints. We don't know what hard life is. Everything got to be. We're going to pay $4 for gas. People are making $20 an hour at McDonald's. Dear God, they ought to charge $10 for gas. Give me a break. I hate inflation. Pay me more. What do you think's going to happen? We're so stupid. I'm going to tell you what. I can understand why people are going for the communists. I understand it. People are insane. See, there's one thing. I need to be able to endure. I need to be a good soldier. I'm so thankful. When I came into Christian Walk, the Lord said to me, I'm going to use your military training to teach you to walk by faith. And what He wanted me to do? To learn to go through the hard things. Like they taught me in the military. Taught me to go through the hard things. We went through training. It wasn't good. I always say this. They don't allow mamas in base camp. They don't allow mamas. That's right. Because mamas will turn around and turn their kid into mush. You know, don't hurt my little boy. Don't do something to him. I know he needs slap silly. But I just love him so much. Yeah. No. Take him out and slap him silly till he becomes something. Where he can stand. Where he knows how to stand. Where he's not just a benefit to himself, he's a benefit to others. See, under military training, we learn to take care of each other. We had to look out. You could end up dead if you don't have people along with you know what they're doing. I can say this truthfully. When I was in Vietnam, I'll tell you, I was much closer with the guys I was generally around than probably I was in any of my family. You just learn everything about the good, the bad, and the ugly with each other. You just talk to each other about stuff of things, and you just did that. Well, we laughed. We laughed a lot. We did. Well, why? You can't spend all your day crying about your troubles and problems. You know, they're shooting at me. Did you know there'd be a cold throw rocket in last night over by us here? You know how hard it is. Monsoon season, everything's wet. My bed's damp. Oh, you just don't know how hard it is. It's like, my God. You know, here in America, you'd think that we're getting bombed every night. Here in America, you'd think they're shooting rockets in all the time. I'm talking about the Christians. You know? I can truly this. Walking with Jesus has been my best life. I can understand Kenneth Hagin said, you know, he talked about the tough things he went through in life. He said, nobody learned. He really appreciates what he learned. He said, I don't want to go through that again. Well, there's things I don't want to go through again. But I thank God for the hard things that I learned to walk through.
Amen.
My faith came from the hard stuff. Came through the things where my father loved me so much, he corrected me in the middle of a problem and didn't just pat it.
Amen.
He told him, you know what to do, get doing it. It's like, oh, yes, sir. I do know what to do. You're right. You know what to do, get doing it. Why? Because he loved me.
Amen.
He put something in. He had more faith in me than I did. He had more confidence in me than I did. That's why he did what he did. Because he knew, he follows that, he's going to make it, this boy will make it on this. He'll walk through this. He'll get past this. He'll go through it.
Amen.
He knew it. And see, we need a, Paul said, be a good soldier. Think Paul wasn't a soldier? How did he write all those good letters, getting beat up like he did? Could you imagine the letter of the average major big name minister today if he went through what Paul did? He'd be telling you why you need to double up on your offering to make his life better. You got to get me the Rolls Royce, you know. BMW ain't good enough. Get the Rolls Royce. I need a more cushioned seat. You know, you can have all that. That's fine. But I'm going to tell you what. You're going to face stuff. And get yourself over where you decide, I'm going to face things. See, I've gotten on to this thing, and I want you to get a hold of this. I've gotten on to things. Things are going to come, and I need to stand. I don't expect to look down the road. Everything's going to be beautiful on my path down through here. And when something bad comes along, I don't understand. What's that? You're living in the world. There's a devil, and there's things. Whoever told you that you're going to have faith and bad ain't coming? Jesus never told you that. He said, in the world, there's trouble. Same word for tribulation. Did you ever read about the tribulation period? That's a wonderful time. I can't wait to go. He said, you're here, and this is a troubled place. But he said, I've overcome it. So what do I have to do? I have to live like he overcome it. And if I don't, I'm in sin. Disobeying the word. Oh, didn't know you. Didn't know. Wow. No, I got to live like I know, like it's overcome. Say, boy, sure don't look like it's overcome. Sure don't look like yesterday was overcome. I'll tell you what, you don't know what I went through yesterday. See, you go through, no, hallelujah, it's overcome. And you can do it. I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot of stuff I don't even get discomforted anymore when it happens. Don't matter. I'm all right, I'll be good. But see, if you go through tough stuff, it's just like I learned this. Now, an unsaved guy in Vietnam, and I just learned, you go through things, you learn how to do stuff and go stuff, and it's what? You're not troubled when stuff's happening. You want to arrive at that place. If you're the troubled person, I'm just going to tell you this, what you are, you're a detriment, whether you understand to yourself, because you'll make lousy decisions. You got to be able to person, when it's getting ugly, you can be calm, because you will not make good decisions. Oh, didn't you hear something? We got to, oh, let's pray. No, let's stop and get you out of here so we can get God to move. Because your fear and anxiety is making everything crazy. Hold it. Let's stop. They act like God's not here. We got to get him. See, I can get out my radio and we'll dial him up. See, we can get through to heaven somehow there. We're going to stop this. We're going to stop and say, that happened? Hallelujah. Praise God's here. God's with me. Hallelujah. He'll give me wisdom.
Amen.
He'll give me understanding.
Amen.
Will know what to do.
Yes. Thank
you, Lord. You will never hear in your noise. You will never hear. See, I learned that early. The first thing I can tell you that I do, I've done this for decades on end, when something severe happens, the first thing I do is I stop talking, I stop looking at what to do, I just stop, and I turn right to the inside. Why? God is there.
Amen.
He's not out here. He's here. And I just look on the inside. You know how many times I've done this? Lord, what do I need to do? I have never one time have had that happen. He hasn't shown me something to do. Never one time. Everybody has that in them. Mostly they're too noisy to hear it. They don't stop. They think, here's spirituality today. Let's pray. Let's get good prayer going in unbelief. Let's get that going. That's going to change things. Oh, yeah. Let's call on God just because we're scared to death. Like some kid told his parents, you know, there was a tornado come to the house. He said, it was a true story. This kid, you know, they were out in the field. They had this patch. They were out there working in it. His parents, they're running because they had one of these, shelters. I know this is out in the country out west. And so they're going to go in the shelter. And he's running up through the shelter. He turns around. His parents stopped their knees and praying. And then he got up and they ran a little bit and stopped knees and praying. He turned around up and he goes, scared prayers don't amount to nothing. My God, they had a prophet in the family. It was the son. Had more spiritual sense. Hallelujah. Scared prayers. They don't amount. They're no account. Hallelujah. So I want you to think about this. What we're dealing with here, why? We want to make sound decisions. Why? We're talking about destiny of things. You know, you want the best. It's like the Lord has shown me sometimes that people, he'd tell me that a person was not going to be healed. But he told me what I could do. Every time he's told me what I can do to help. The Holy Ghost is in you as a helper. That's what he is. He's a helper. And he's in you to help. It's like I said, the Lord had told me, a person's, no, they're not going to get healed. They're going to die, but I want you to get them ready. So when they meet me, I want you to get them ready to meet me. This is what I want you to do. See, he'll always want to do something. See, when people jump on board, so I could have got over praying and praying and praying about them, and I wouldn't have been doing what God wanted me to do to help them. What can be helped? See, their destiny was set. Was not going to be changed. There's the one person I did, wow, they've been a Christian for like 30 or 40 years, never walked and followed God. So, God ain't going to fix it for them. They've already trained themselves not to follow God. So what you do is God said, I want him to have a good home going. Isn't he something? See, this is mercy and love is.
Amen.
He would have not been merciful to them to heal them. They'd have been back in a mess again. See, we don't see these things. All we think is us. I'm so glad. God, he knows what all it takes. Anything he wants you, your destiny, is you end up in heaven. Not you to here live as 400 years here like hell.
Amen.
He'd rather have you dead than in heaven with him. That's love. Because heaven's better than you living like hell here.
Amen.
But we think, because we're living in the flesh, we're having a good time here. We don't know what a good time is. That's why you don't want to have anybody in heaven. He went up and took a boat. How many want to go back to earth? And they'd all just turn and talk to each other and walk away. And you wouldn't get a vote out of them. they don't want... They're in a place of glory. You talk about the love of God. How many people are up in heaven that have not really recognized Jesus much in their life? Oh, they might play some religious games now, here and there. But they're in heaven. Good God. You talk about a person. Can you think of a person don't walk right with God for 40 years, get their life straight so they can come home. Can you imagine? You talk about mercy and grace. And the whole family's praying, let's keep them here so they can live like hell some more. I know this stuff. Well, so we were talking about, God knows the direction. And especially God will tell you, and we're going to find out about things changed, things not changed. This is one of the things, you need to be led by the Spirit. It'll save you a lot of time from trying to figure out things on your own, you know, trying to do something and nah, it ain't working. Let's try this and let's try. No. Find out what's God doing. God knows. God knows everything about each one of us. He knows. And see, you've got to stop about that. About yourself. Many times we have to stop. Why do we want, even for other people, why do we want what we want? You know, there's people out here, they're trying to get somebody saved. And you know why? Because the person can't stand them the way they are. Love ain't involved in it at all. They're just ugly. I can't stand them. And we don't listen. See, I saw that with Joe Biden. I watched, you know, people praying for the president and that stuff. And I thought, you know, Joe Biden, if you look at him in the natural and what was going on in our country. But you know, I had to leave that thing alone about what he was. You know what? I mentored that man's salvation. That's God is. Jesus died for that man. For me not caring is a real slap in the face to Jesus.
Amen.
You see, why do we? What are we doing? See, this is where I act over and people say, I look out at these people's world. The devil's driving people crazy and they're running it. But I'm going to tell you what. I can't be part of the fight other than fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Preach the gospel. Some will be saved.
Amen.
Some will come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. They all won't. I'm just going to tell you. They all ain't going to come. But I'll tell you, some will. Some will come to the knowledge of the truth. Some will be saved. And what will scare you the most is the ones you thought were the ugliest will come. And you'll find out they're nicer than you. They'll love Jesus more than you do. I saw that in revival. I saw sinners come in. And I saw Christians were sort of tormented by it because they were twice as hungry for God as the believers were. And it annoyed the believers. It annoyed them. I thought it was absolutely exciting. They loved Jesus. I thought, my God, hallelujah. They're for Jesus.
Amen.
It's wonderful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If they got more than I got, I want what they got.
Amen.
Not get mad at him about it. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Now, we didn't ride a donkey into town today. We didn't do that. Hallelujah. But that Jesus that was on that donkey. Do you know what Jesus went in? I want you to get this before we go. Jesus rode that donkey into town. You know what he did? He went to the temple. And what did he do? He got to the temple and he went in and he made up a whip. And he went in, he cleaned the temple out. It says, why? What would he clean it out for? It said, then they came to him and he healed them. See, there was people in there that needed healing. Now, I just want to let you know this today. I want to say to you, who's the temple today? We are. Things need cleaned out?
Amen. Preach.
Did the donkey come to town with a man? See, Christians bypass and we have our little, what we see, Jesus come, threw all them bad guys out. What about your heart today? Maybe we're not healed because there's junk in the heart. We let things in us that shouldn't be in us.
Amen. Preach.
Wrong motives, wrong things. So this is not criticism, but see, this is the Bible teaches. See, we got to take those things and put them over. We're the temple today. Does some tables need kicked over? Do we have some religious doves we're selling? And we need them flying away. The money changer table, maybe gotten over there too. You know, I've had a lot of trouble with this giving stuff, Jesus. You know, maybe we need to kick that table over. See, we need to judge. Hey, we look at ourselves, we find things. Especially, let me just say this. God will judge you quicker on motives of the heart, quicker than he will actions in the flesh. You'll be judged quicker. We wonder sometimes of people. You can't always tell about people from what's going on the inside of them. But I'm going to tell you, you know what's going on in you. You do know. You can fake it. Hey, you can make it look great and nobody else knows. That's what it is. See, what's done on the outside, we all see. But I'm going to tell you what. There's people sometimes on the outside, they look a little shabby. But you know what? They have a good heart. And you know what? People will never say they have a good heart. They take this person over here that looks really, oh, they have a good heart. They could be pretty ugly. We don't know. They may be holding ill will and things against people, and they have stuff going on. Look really nice. Let the guy with the donkey come in town. He's called the Word of God. Judge yourself according to the Word of God. Why? To be healed. See, when the Lord told me this, he said, number one thing I want my people, get born again, fill the Holy Ghost. The number one thing I want my people is to be healed. Is there anything holding us back from that? Maybe the way I believe about things in my heart, keeping me from getting healed, the way I believe about things. See, there's things we need to deal with. Let God talk to us about things. You know, I was letting God talk to me. You know, it was a thing. I didn't think it was a big problem about me not outrunning, but it seemed to be a problem with him, and he brought it up. Now, I ain't telling all of you to go out and run. He brought it up to me. He said, you gave your word you're going to be able to do this. You need to keep your word. Oh. See, that's what he had for me. See, you didn't need to hear from me. For me, I did. I need to hear what I need. See, a lot of times people do this. God tells them to straighten something up, and they're going around telling everybody else to, too. Because of them. No, you let everybody else alone with it. You get you straightened up. Get you so you can be well and whole and sound. That's what you want to do. See, healing's a natural flow. When Jesus in there kicked the junk out of the temple, God could come and move.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. It's easy. Sometimes you just got to kick the junk out. Sometimes it's not, you know, don't let attitudes about things, you know, get you caught over in an area, you know, just about people and what they're doing. So many people are upset about what everybody's doing. It's like we're living a day in town and people are all upset. There's too much you could easily get upset about today. You can't afford to do it. You can't afford to do that. People making wrong decisions and doing everything. And, you know, I just got over the thing. You know, I got to trust God because I can't trust Congress. I can't trust groups. I can't trust all these things going on out here. Because, you know, it's all with people. And it's just like every one of us here. We all make mistakes. Now, I'm not talking about sin. Just make mistakes. We make the wrong decision. And we don't, you know, we do. And we stop and say, boy, you know, I guess I shouldn't have done that one. I ought to have done this way. We aren't doing it to sin or anything like that. It's not doing it. Everybody, we have our ideas of what would work and what would fix things and what would. But I've just learned this over the years. The things that are outside my scope of being able to change, I'm wasting my time on things outside my scope to change. And if I'm wasting my time, it would sure be a real waste of time to worry about that. Wouldn't it? Would real be a real waste of time. Because I'm going to tell you what. Worry is a terrible sin. Worry is a terrible sin. Why? It destroys you.
Amen.
You can't be a worrier. You're going to have health problems. You're going to have a lot of things. Your mind is going to be a field day for the devil to torment you at stuff. Torment you. I'm going to tell you what. Your mind, no matter what goes on in it, it is totally real to you what you let go on in it. I don't care if nothing bad's happening. If your mind thinks it is, it's just as if it is. Did you ever run a schizophrenic? They think things are going on and happening and ain't going on. But I'm going to tell you what, I learned this. In their mind, it's going on. To them, it's going on. It don't matter. People say, well, that ain't true. Don't matter. In their mind, it's real. Your thoughts in your mind become real. That's why you got to watch what you say and do and what you're talking about. Saying and criticizing, and that's your mind. Number one, it's going to affect your health. It affects you. They've done study after study and proved. Anybody that's worried on that stuff, their immune system don't work right. They're susceptible to all kinds of sickness and disease. They're all susceptible to all kinds of stuff. Why? Worrying. Your immune system can't work. See, you don't want to be... See, we think, well, they're doing all this stuff and they're harming. What we need is a better health program. No. We need less health program and more of Jesus. We got a health program. Has it really straightened people's health out? I mean, dear God. You know what? We need cheaper health programs so we can spend more money on health. We got to get to the doctor more. There's a lot that would straighten out people's lives if we knock in these areas, especially a Christian. You're a Christian. I want to be an example to people of life. I don't want to walk up and say, I'm sick. God made me sick for a reason. See, I believe in healing, but I can never have it. What is good to believe in? See, you could believe God wants you well, but it would sure be, I want to be well. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? And I'm serious. Look at it. This is not criticism. Examine yourself. Stop. Say, good Lord, show me what I need to do. Show me what I need. What do I need to do? Where do I need to make a change? I've learned this. If I'm believing in a direction and nothing ever changes, I don't need a rocket scientist. I don't need to get, 20, prophets and everything else. I know this. Something's wrong. I'm not hooking up. Amen. What's wrong? It's never God. God's on my side. God be for me, who can be against me?
Amen.
So I know God's on my side. So if something's wrong, it's like, okay, what's wrong with me? Where am I missing it? You might be just missing knowledge, some you didn't know that now you know something. You got to find that out. So why? You can correct that. And what do? It's like Hezekiah did. Turn your face to the wall. He didn't say, run to prayer groups. Run to this guy. Go ask the pastor. Go do this. No, you turn your face to the wall. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Ooh, is that in the Bible? I thought it was, no, you call the prayer chain. Isn't that in the scripture? I know I'm meddling, but we need more meddling in the church. Number one, we can learn. Look, this is not criticism. Why? God wants to respond to you personally. He don't want you to have to keep hearing from somebody else. That's no faith in that. He wants to talk to you. You mean something to him.
Amen.
You belong to him. He died. Jesus died for you. Man's God's treasure. And we're trying to get somebody else to be God's treasure for us. You know, he doesn't talk to me, so I got to go to hold somebody else, get a hold of me, because he don't talk to me. I said, yes, he does. I learned this years ago. He was talking a lot that I wasn't listening to.
Amen.
But I learned over time about the listening thing. I stumbled through some things, fell over a bunch of things, did stuff. But I come to practice. God is always responding. Why would he say, seek and you will find, if he ain't responding? Wouldn't that be a lie? But see, we need to break down some of these barriers the way we think religiously. Many times the answer is there much quicker than we received it because of the way we think about that. Religion always pushes God to a distance. He's somebody that you're always trying to chase after instead of the guy you go to. See, when it comes to people, you know, I might call Mike and Darlene and they might not be home if I want to. So, you know, why? Because they're innocent. I never had God say, I'm sorry, I'm away. don't you? That doesn't mean anything's wrong. They're living here in this life. They ain't supposed to be God to me. They're not supposed to be my answer.
Amen. Amen.
They're not supposed to be. So get yourself over it. Get yourself in the right direction. Hallelujah. God is good. And I want to treat him like so. Man, when I think about him, I just get a smile. He does love me.
Yes.
He does. He loves Ed. I know this. He loves me. You know how I can tell he loves me? Because he chastens me. That's what the Bible says. He corrects me. You know what? Correction always leads me to some bigger blessing.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen.
And I'm in the blessing business. I'm getting as many of them as I can. I want as many of his blessings on my life. I don't want one of his hands on my head. I want both of them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We want to live in that place. He chastens us. Not because... Do you know generally how God chastens you? Through the Word. So when you sit there and listen to the Word preach and say, oh, boy, that sort of hurt. Maybe I'll stay home next week. I didn't want to hear that. No, I don't like chastening. You know, I love chastening. I need to be corrected. Hallelujah. Because I need to change. Why? For my benefit and for yours. Hallelujah. I want... my offspring to be blessed.
Amen.
I don't want my things are crazy in my life, judgment falling on them. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say thank you today. Lord, the word says that you are good and your mercy endures forever. You are the God of blessing. And the fact that when we got born again and came into the kingdom, you gave us every spiritual blessing in heavenly place in Christ. Now, there is no doubt concerning your giving and reward. You're phenomenal. And Lord, surely at times we surely have missed the mark in walking in some of these things of you blessed us and we've been searching after you like we're trying to get you to give something you didn't give. And I thank you for your mercy to forgive us for acting those childish ways, but we probably were pretty childish, and that's where we were. But I want to thank you. You gave us the Holy Ghost to grow up. And Lord God, I just want to thank you for the wonderful Holy Spirit. I thank you for the great teacher. Because Jesus, I wouldn't know you without the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't know the glory of what you are and who you are had not the Holy Spirit revealed that through the Word. And I just want to say thank you. How gracious you, and you caused me to be born again. But you, it's like you told the disciples, I'm not going to let you alone. Hallelujah. I'm going to send you the helper. Hallelujah. You didn't get us born again and we're just on our own down here. Hallelujah. You gave us the Holy Spirit, the great teacher inside of us. And that wasn't enough. Hallelujah. We can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, anointed, Lord God, to bless others. How wonderful that is. How glorious that is. Man, you have the whole thing figured out. You have the whole thing. You have all the blessing, Lord God. What a bundle of inherited blessing we got. It is phenomenal. And I just want to say thank you today. I thank you, Lord God, today. Lord God, you're giving us understanding. And Lord God, Lord, I realize these things are not for the faint in heart, but we ain't the faint in heart. That's who not we're not. Lord God, Lord, we're meat eaters. That's what we are. We're meat eaters. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you. We ain't choking on the meat. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we're eating it and liking it.
Amen.
We're taking a hold of it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we're letting it work in us. We're letting it digest in us, Lord God. And those wonderful words, it's taking us from glory to glory. It's taking us from a place, Lord God, not just a place of talk, but a place of walk. Hallelujah. When we walk, Lord God, in a place of glory, hallelujah, that you can demonstrate yourself. And, oh, Lord God, if anybody needs a sign from God, we're sure living in a generation that does. And, Lord God, I believe we're the people of the signs and wonders. We're the people, hallelujah, to bring the signs. Lord God, is when the prophet prayed, hallelujah, for Hezekiah, and Hezekiah said, you know, I need a sign. And it says the prophet went and sought you, that you'd give the sign, and you did. And Lord God, we're the prophets to these generation today. We're the prophets. Lord God, we want the signs to give. Hello, we want you to demonstrate your signs and wonders. We want manifestations of the Holy Ghost, gifts of healing. Hallelujah. Working of miracles. Hallelujah. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, Lord God. Prophecies. Hallelujah. Father God, we want words of wisdom and words of knowledge. We want all these things in manifestation, Lord God. Hallelujah. The gift of faith and operation, Lord God. Signs for this generation to see and know there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah. That He is talking to them. That He is reaching out to them. And I thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We're crying out to you and ask you, and we will do it. You told us to seek and find, knock, it would be open. I just want to thank you for opening up the glory of heaven, bringing those signs to those who can't see. Hallelujah. So they know the truth, and the truth makes them free. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.